This morning as we gather, we sing, built of tears and cries and laughter, prayers of faith and songs of grace. Let this house proclaim from floor to rafter, all are welcome, all are welcome, all are welcome in this place. But what kind of a place is this? How do we think about place or space? Who owns this place? How should it be used? How could it be used? These are the kinds of questions we'll explore today. In the third week of our August worship and sermon series, Neighborhood Church, based in part on a book by Rob Mueller and Corinne Van Tottenhove, pastors from San Antonio, Texas, who have written a text to try to help local churches think about how to position themselves as, they say, powerhouses of mission in their community. And today our theme is around integrating space. What does that mean for us, particularly in this grand and glorious and beautiful space where we proclaim that all are welcome? We begin this morning, as we always do, in Scripture. And today we turn to a text that is likely to be less familiar to many of us. It's certainly less familiar to me. It comes from the Old Testament, from the book of 1 Kings, reading from chapter 17, verses 8 to 24, one of the stories of the prophet Elijah. Listen now for the word of God for us today. Then the word of the Lord came to him, being Elijah, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So Elijah set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake and bring it to me, and afterwards something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. After this, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became ill. The illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. So then she said to Elijah, "What have you against me, O man of God? You've come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son?" But he said to her, "Give me your son." He took him from her bosom, carried him into the upper chamber where he was lodging, and laid him on his own bed. He cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, have you brought calamity even upon the widow with whom I am staying by killing her son?" Then he stretched himself out upon the child three times and cried out to the Lord, "O Lord my God, let this child's life come into him again." The Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. The life of the child came into him again, and he revived. Elijah took the child, brought him down from the upper chamber into the house, and gave him to his mother. Then Elijah said, "See, your son is alive." So the woman said to Elijah, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord. For you alone are our rock and our redeemer. Let all God's people say, Amen. For many years, Harold and Jalita Felty were beloved members of this congregation. Until about 7 years ago, they moved to Texas to be closer to some immediate family for this season in their life. And last week, Harold passed away. His wife, Jalita, called and said, "We're going to have a memorial service here in Texas at Trinity Presbyterian Church, where we attend now, but we'd also like to have a service there at First Press in Fort Collins." And I said, "Of course, we made the arrangements, and the service will be here tomorrow morning at 10:30. On Friday, Jalita and her daughter, Jan, flew up to Denver and drove up to the church. We met for a while in the afternoon to plan the final details of that service. And as we did, Jalita and Jan shared words of gratitude for this congregation, not just for hosting the service on Monday, but more importantly for their experience of being a part of such a generous and joyful community here for many years. When we were done planning the details of the service, I said, "Hey, would you like to go on a tour of the church? A few things have changed probably since you were here in 2012. And so we did. We got up from my office and we began walking along. And as we did, I was pointing out things that I thought they might be interested in, but I continually found myself standing alone because they had stopped several feet behind me to look at something, to have a conversation together, and I hadn't even realized that I would have to walk back to catch up with them. And in doing so, I would hear them sharing stories. "Oh, Mom," Jan said, "remember all the picnics that we had out here on the lawn? Remember being out here with the children, watching them run and play together? Oh, Jan, remember the times that we spent here in this Shepherdson Hall, the times of fellowship, the times that we had special community events? Remember the times we gathered in this parlor with a women's circle or with some other group here at the church for fellowship? So many fond, beautiful, cherished memories they had and have of this place that we call First Presbyterian Church." It was a great affirmation for me walking around with them to hear in their experience years ago of how much they still carry that treasure with them of this place. Which of course makes sense because we know that this church, like many churches, is a church that has been nurtured and sustained for generations, for decades, by people who have faithfully given their treasure and their time, their energy, their intelligence, their experience to nurturing this community of faith, to sustaining it from year to year to year, and all the wonderful things that happen here. That's the starting place that Rob and Kryn begin with as they think about this idea of integrating place or space in a local church. That, of course, this is a place filled with cherished memories, and we hope with vital and vibrant ministries. And yet, they say, the future of local churches can often be determined by a particular lens, a particular way of thinking about their place or space. And for Rob and Kryn, they say, it depends on whether you think through a lens of ownership or a lens of stewardship. Now, ownership, understandably, comes from the belief that we in this congregation, in this community, for generations, have put our own hard-earned dollars, right, into literally building this place and sustaining it, to paying the bills, to making sure through our leadership that it makes good decisions and is sustained from year to year. We own this place. And because we do, we might understandably have a certain amount of caution about how the place is used, whether it gets wear and tear from the riffraff who are in and out of this place from day to day, whether or not we're being good tenders of this space in order to make sure that it is preserved, a well-preserved place. And while there might be certain occasions and relationships in which that makes sense, Rob and Kryn argue that we might instead be better positioned to think through a lens of stewardship. That is, that all of this, all that we have, all the blessings and resources of our lives, including the blessings and resources that have created and sustained a place like this, are in fact gifts from God. None of it is through our own doing or making. And because everything that we have, is a gift from God, we are only stewards, managers. We are only here to tend to it, to nurture it on behalf of God and God's mission in this community and in the world. And when we think about a place through the lens of stewardship, it leads us down a different path in how we think about the ways in which this place, this space, can continue to be used for God's mission, especially a beautiful place that happens to be located right in the center of a vibrant and growing city like Fort Collins, here at the corner of College and Mulberry. A couple of years ago, we began to think through that lens about how this space might be better utilized, especially during the week. We do a pretty good job of utilizing it on Sunday, I think, like right now. But what happens Monday through Friday? And so a couple of years ago, there was a local ministry here in town. It started at CSU out of their family development school that was trying to provide resources for therapeutic care, especially for Hispanic families in Fort Collins that were experiencing trauma and distress. The ministry is called La Cocina, the kitchen in Spanish, because they recognize that it's usually in the kitchen, around the kitchen table, where family conversations happen and where family dilemmas get addressed and resolved. And so the La Cocina ministry, which had outgrown the space they were using at La Familia, the family center on the north side of town, looking for a place, was welcomed here by church leaders to say, "We have space in our education building that's not being utilized." And so they came and began on Wednesdays having therapy sessions with families and community time, sharing meals together, learning about how to parent and how to navigate life here in town, and a wide range of classes and services for those families. About a year later, the family center out of which they were born, La Familia, was also outgrowing its space. They had converted a lot of their rooms into childcare space because of the dramatically unmet childcare need here in Fort Collins. And so some of their programs began to meet here as well. A place, again, for families that otherwise wouldn't have a space to gather in, wouldn't have a space to learn from each other, to provide for each other a community space, to break bread, the tears and cries and laughter that we sang about a few moments ago, for that to take place. This last week, I was in a meeting where leaders, staff from both La Cocina and La Familia were here, just having a check-in and talking about how this relationship is going. And it was interesting, the question came up in that conversation, do some of your clients or families have a hesitation about coming to programs that are located on a church campus? Well, it's interesting you would ask that, they said, because in fact, early on, there was some hesitation because many of these families had had negative experiences at previous church locations. And so we had to prod them a little bit to come. And they did. And because of the generous warm embrace that they have experienced here, they now feel welcome. They now feel like this space is a kind of third place or third home for them. Some of you know that idea about third place or third space. It's something that has been talked about in wide circles in our society. Ray Oldenburg talked about it in his book, The Great Good Place, in 1989. About how third space or place in people's lives is so important. That is, we have our first place, our home, our second place, either school or work, and then it's these third places, places that are intentionally designed and cultivated for people to gather, to meet, to have conversation, to play, to get to know each other, to belong together. Those places in our society are so crucial. Robert Putnam wrote about it in Bowling Alone. Many others have talked about it, including the book I referenced 2 weeks ago, Palaces for the People by Eric Kleinenberg. People from different perspectives and lenses have reflected together about the ongoing deep need in our community for these places where people gather, where they're welcomed, where people who might disagree or be disagreeable with one another in almost every other arena in life might find a shared space to belong. That's what folks from La Casina and La Familia have begun to experience. And in part because we had seen the power of that kind of relationship, this last year there were folks at a local nonprofit called the Matthews House that were also looking for space. They have a community life center at Genesis Project, a local Timberline church north of Mulberry, and they were using another space in a Poudre School District building where they had to vacate because the district was reclaiming that building. And in talking with people around town looking for space, somebody said to them, "Hey, I hear First Presbyterian Church is a place that might welcome you." And so Jerry Schmitz, the founder of Matthew's House, came by and visited with me. And I confessed when we first met, I said, "I'm not sure this is going to work. I'm not sure that your needs and our availability really are a good match." And yet there was something profound about the kind of ministry they were doing that was such a good fit with who we are and what we're called to be. Reaching out and providing a space for families who are vulnerable, who are traumatized, who are experiencing some kind of grief or brokenness. And so we began to figure out how to work it out. And in fact, their community life center moved in here over the summer. You've heard me talk about this before. And this week, program really gets up and running now, full time. In a few moments during the offering, as we receive the tithes and offerings this morning, you'll see a video interview with Jerry talking about how the Matthews House started and some of the ways in which it reaches out to families in our community, and importantly, some of the ways that we will be partners with them in that space. That we're not just renting out space to them like a nonprofit Airbnb. This isn't a transactional relationship, it's a transformational relationship in which together we will experience the love of God in Christ by the work that we do together in this community. In the back of your bulletin this morning on pages 10 and 11, you'll find a wide range of opportunities that members of this community can participate in over the coming year or years. From the one-off occasional opportunity to the once-a-week tutoring for kids after-school opportunity to a way to open your home to a young adult full-time trying to get on his or her feet again. After worship today, if you're interested, downstairs in the education building in room 107, which you've probably never been in because it used to be a storage room full of junk, has now this summer been transformed into an administrative office space for the Matthews House staff. It is a beehive buzzing now with activity as families come in looking for services and assistance. Jenny, one of the staff people, will be downstairs this morning. If you want to go down with your cup of coffee and check it out and meet with her and see what's going on, you're welcome to do that. It's just a kind of a brief, informal open house this morning. But the point of all of this is that we are trying to lean into God's call at First Presbyterian Church for the ways in which we can be better stewards of this place. Because ultimately, we believe that God has something exciting in mind, that God has a plan for us as a community that is best fulfilled, best brought to fruition by what happens when we gather together, when we share space together. And that finally brings us back to our scripture lesson this morning. You may have wondered. The prophet Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, if you read the verses preceding this morning's chapter, he's on the run for his life. His life is in danger because Jezebel and King Ahab are after him as a man of God. They worship the god of Baal, the god of other cultures and places. And so they are chasing after Elijah. He's running for his life. There has been a drought and a famine in the land. He's run out of food and water. His life is literally now hanging by a thread, and he sends him to be in the house as a guest of this widow, who herself, with her son, is experiencing a life-threatening crisis. She, too, is nearly out of food and water. And as Elijah finds sanctuary in that home, a place that is safe and welcoming for him, They discovered together by leaning into one another's faith in God that what seems too small suddenly becomes abundant provision. Do you hear in this story a little bit of the ring of the New Testament gospel lesson of Jesus feeding the 5,000, starting with just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread, and suddenly what is so small becomes abundant provision? And in the same way, by Elijah and this widow leaning into one another's faith in God, they discover too that what does not seem like enough suddenly becomes more than enough. And even more so, as they experience death, grief, brokenness, loss in their lives, that in this relationship together, in this shared place, the God of resurrection is able to bring about new life once again. That's what happens when together in community, we lean into one another's faith in God. That's what happens when we trust that what may not seem like enough, what we may want to hide away and preserve and protect, suddenly when it's shared, becomes more than any of us could have ever imagined together. Rab and Krim in their book tell the story of Baptist Temple, a huge sprawling church campus in southeast San Antonio that once upon a time was a vibrant place of ministry, but like many urban centers, has fallen on hard times in a neighborhood that by almost every metric has found itself impoverished. They hired a new pastor several years ago, Pastor Jorge, who had been born in Cuba but raised on the streets of Miami. As a former Marine, he was not afraid to tackle very many challenges in life. And so when Jorge got to Baptist Temple, he discovered a place that was almost entirely empty. He said you could hear a pin drop in this place. And yet, with faithfulness and courage and a vision about how God might use them and their community and their place, they, over the last few years, have developed into a community center that is buzzing with activity, some that is explicitly faith-based and nurturing discipleship, some that is simply reaching out to the community to meet families in need, kids, children, adults, parents who are looking for help. And now that place is packed from Sunday through Saturday. Reverend Jorge recently was reflecting on his experience. He said, "The wealth of a congregation is experienced in the power of the use of its place." He said, "We think about it like the parable of the talents, that we could have hidden away our talent to protect it, but that's not what Jesus would want us to do. Instead, we have invested it and discovered in that investment that it has been multiplied many times over, a place of life and vibrancy. And we believe, too, that Christ has called and is continuing to call us at First Presbyterian Church. Yes, most of our ministry happens in the practice of our faith outside of this building, in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in the third places that we occupy in this town of pubs and cafes, public libraries and parks, all of the other places that, of course, are a part of where we share our faith and discipleship. And at the same time, this place is called to be a beacon of light and love so that people here might experience what Elijah and the widow experienced. The people here might experience what families in La Casina and La Familia and now families in the Matthews House are going to experience. A place where they are welcome, a place where their tears and cries and laughter, where their prayers of faith and songs of grace are welcome, are nurtured, are taught, so that here too, from floor to rafter, we might declare that all are welcome in this place.